Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. You have reached American Health Crisis. This is Paulette Young, your host tonight, and we'll be joined with Selena Lindsay also. It's going to be a great night tonight because we have Barbara Colarosa, who's an international speaker on parenting. And tonight's topic is going to be children, teen addicted to Internet. And if you want to talk or anything like that, you would dial in the number 858-769-4936 and press 1. If you don't want to talk, you don't need to press 1. I just want to say a quote by Barbara Colarosa. She stated that because they are children and for no other reason, they have dignity and worth because they are. Barbara Colarosa is known internationally as a speaker, author of 6 books in the area of parenting, teacher, educator, school discipline, nonviolent resolution, and reconciliation. She is an educational consultant for school district, medical business, community, and the criminal justice system. Today's parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, older siblings are faced with how to control Internet, social media, time of children and teens. So join us on America Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. This is your host speaking, Paulette Young. So what I'm going to go ahead and give the floor to Barbara Colarosa. If you have any questions, about every 15 minutes, jot your questions down, and she'll be able to answer them. Thank you. Okay, Barbara.
Thank you, Paulette. It's a joy and an honor to be with you on this program on a critically important topic. The media, I call it the good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent. It used to be that we would say the online world and the real world. But what we have to say today, from very young toddlers all the way through their teen years, and we as adults, that it's the online world, offline world, and they have now merged to become the real world for our young people. So we have to understand that. And truly, when I said the good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent, we need to recognize all of those, not just either or, but all of them. Those of you who are familiar with my work, I talk about 3 kinds of families: the brick wall, the jellyfish, and the backbone. The brick wall family, it's my way or the highway, and no, you will not have a cell phone until you're in high school, and I'm going to control your media access until you leave home. That does not allow a child to develop a sense of inner discipline around media. I believe that we have to, as we do with all other things with our children, constantly increase responsibilities and decision-making that are age appropriate and ability appropriate, and decrease limits and boundaries so that when they leave our homes, they are truly able to think for themselves and make good, sound judgments about their media use. I was called into a university a few years ago, and it was a very prestigious university where 22 of the freshman class had failed their freshman year at this difficult university to get into in the first place. So they had to be good students. But they had failed because of Internet addiction. And so the professor who knew my work asked me if I'd be willing to interview these very distraught parents. And without exception, every one of them were brick wall parents who controlled their child's phone, their child's Internet use, the media that they watched until they left home. So when they left home and they had absolute freedom, they had no inner controls at all. And the professor said to me, well, why didn't any jellyfish parents pop up? I said, because those parents, jellyfish, it's anything goes, most of the children from a jellyfish family would have never gotten into that school. And so we didn't see any jellyfish. But those who thrived were from a backbone family, where in a backbone, there are limits and boundaries, age-appropriate, ability-appropriate, around all areas. Like, I didn't say to my kids when they were two, do you want to go to bed or not? That's not a choice for a two-year-old. But I did say, do you want to go to bed now with your red pajamas or now with your blue pajamas? And if they show up with red bottoms, blue top, I don't get hysterical about it. It's not life-threatening, morally threatening, or unhealthy. And I don't tend to intervene when they're asked to make age-appropriate choice. So how does that apply to the Internet? Sad to say, so many of our young people today, Internet start and their use of cell phones and their use of iPads starts when they're very, very young. Some of the little ones know how to swipe on a cell phone to get photos when they're less than 2 years old. So they've had experience with it. So you want to know that you need to have limits and boundaries for those very young ones. But as they reach the school years and then the middle school years, we need to constantly give them more responsibilities and decision-making opportunities. And in the teen years, I use the motto, trust but verify, and talk to them. So let's look at some of the things we could do. And that backbone family is flexible. There are times when it's okay to say, you know what, we're all kind of fried right now. Why don't we all just take some time? And you may play on your games, and I'm going to watch a show myself. It's okay to do that occasionally, just so we're not doing it all the time. Or we're not hounding our kids about how much time they're on the Internet, but you have no clue what they're doing on it. And they may be indeed communicating. One of my grandchildren, during, and he was in his early teens, during the pandemic, learned to be a lot more vocal with his peers because he had to communicate with them with online learning and then after class. He couldn't just get together and play soccer. And so he had to communicate. So he's far more communicated. I would say that's a real plus. But we need to look at what we can do in terms of the media and what concerns should we have. Because media can be used as an international educator, as a way to tune into the world and provide a way to tune out for brief respite from everyday life and demands. So you want to look at it as positively in that light, but too much media involvement and too little real-life social interaction and engagement truly can stifle the development of social skills necessary to form healthy relationships. And I talk in my book, Just Because It's Not Wrong Doesn't Make It Right, that there are three antidotes to the three most virulent agents ripping apart the fabric of our humanity. And these agents, online and offline, for our young people, is hating other people with utter contempt. And boy, can our young people get hooked in to hateful rhetoric on the Internet. Hoarding, meme mine, and more. When you come into... We often don't think of advertising and marketing as a part of our kids' media and the influence it has on them, but advertising and marketing targeting children will teach them at a very early age to want more than they need and to need more than they can possibly use. They can get into mindless spending and superficial materialism. So hoarding, everything, you have to have it. It's mine. And then harming through lying and cheating and stealing. Now, connecting to the Internet is like opening the door to a new and vast city. And children need to be taught how to live in the net world and navigate its roles. However, if the fear of getting caught is what prevents kids from lying and cheating and stealing, which is a part of that harming, that third age, the anonymity and the sense of invisibility created on the net will lessen any of those inhibitions. And so it can actually feed into our young people lying and cheating and stealing, lying about what they're on the internet for, cheating in games online, or even bullying another child in a game activity. And then stealing, and you say, why would they steal? Well, there are many games that require money, and children have been known to take their parents' credit cards and rack up a horrific bill with that. So we look at hating, hoarding, and harming. So what are the antidotes, online and offline? Care deeply, share generously, and help willingly. However, caring deeply, sharing generously, and helping willingly are butting up against the messages of materialism, self-centered gratification, again, that me, mine, and more, and gratuitous violence, which we'll get into later, often combined with sex in the most inappropriate and unhealthy ways possible, where often young women are dehumanized and seen as objects to be toyed with, quote-unquote, by young boys, as well as unhealthy attitudes about girls and women with the denigration and subjugation that we often see online, and they don't get a healthy sense of relationship. And many popular shows, movies, songs, and videos promote no limits, no boundaries, if it feels good, do it ethic. So you want to really be tuned in to what your children are playing. And often on the video games that young people are doing online or maybe in their PlayStation, people are often divided into good and bad, them and us. And the sad thing, if you've ever surveyed some of the material that's online, you'll be shocked by the various minority groups portrayed in stereotypical fashion and often in a negative light, which feeds into that hating another human being, making them into an it. And there is no correlation between real-life violence and unreal media violence. If you've ever sat down and watched movies where, quote-unquote, the good guys perpetrators of violence, but actually cheered and rewarded, and rarely is any remorse shown. We're getting better at it, but still in the dark web, there's some ugly, ugly influence for our young people. And I know some of you are going, oh my God, I'm scared already. We'll talk about some of the positive things you can do as well, but I want to give you the overview for what our young people are faced with. Now, I've talked about online, but we also have to know that we need to deal with the music that our children are listening to. It's not exactly the sound of music, quote unquote. But music is an important form of communication that comes before and truly transcends spoken language. Musical games help children learn rudimentary social skills. The songs are often soothing to them, or patriotic songs can move you to tears. So music can be a very powerful tool to bring people together. During the horrific incursion into Ukraine, there were people from all over the world coming together to sing music. In fact, in the subways, which became bomb shelters, little boys and girls would lift up their voices to sing in a way of connecting and coming together and to have it be very soothing. Young people who played instruments would see that. So we have to be careful. And I'm 74, so I'm from the 50s, 60s, 70s era of music. And people say, oh, but it wasn't so bad. Well, listen to some of Ricky Nelson's songs about having a young woman in every port. And we could go through quite a few of our songs and go, oh, wow, I listened to those. But they didn't harm me, but, wow, I never listened to the words. So what you want to do with your children is get involved with them in their music and expose them to all different kinds of music. One of my grandchildren plays both classical and rock, electric guitar and classical guitar. And it's a whole different mood he gets into when he's involved in the two different music combinations. And so music can be a cord that connects and binds people to one another. It can be used for good, however. It can also be used for bad. It can help solidify a group, create a deep sense of community, and join people together for the benefit of that community. As I just spoke about with Ukraine, we often see it ourselves on holiday, where certain songs are the ones that we remember. Many of our young people will remember songs of their childhood, even into their 80s and 90s as they get older. Music's powerful. It also helps solidify a group to work against the common good of the larger community or energize them to attack a group targeted for exclusion or harm. So some of the rhetoric our kids are exposed to, anti-Semitic rhetoric, taking a minority group and demeaning them. And so you want to listen with your children and talk to them. Don't say, absolutely, you cannot listen to that. But let's talk about the meaning behind that and where is it that we want to come from with our core to care deeply and share generously and help willingly. And how does that help us connect to other human beings, or how does that sever relationships? You can start that dialogue with definitely in the teen years to have those conversations. And let's look a moment just at video games, because you can play them online on the computer. You can play them with various gaming tools, and you can play them with their peers. It can be a single-person game, or it can be multiple players. And this is where we have to be sure that we have talked to our children about who are you playing with and do you know these people? Is it a closed group? Or can somebody come in and pretend to be a different age? So you want to know yourself. You say, I don't know any of this. One of the best things you could do is sign up for commonsensemedia.org. Go to their website. And they have helpful hints from all the different ages and stages in your young people's life on how to help keep them safe. I can give you a few tools tonight. But it's much bigger than what I could cover in just this hour. So commonsensemedia.org started here. It's now all over the world. And communities have banded together of parents and shared situations that have happened to their children and what they can do to work with one another. So you want to know all the things your kids are involved in. Talk to me about it. Tell me about it. Get in to their music with them. And then if there's some awful ones, you want to tune into that as well and say, let's talk about this.
Yes. Thank you. I'm going to see if there's any questions from the audience that's here also. We're talking about children being addicted to internet, and Barbara's been speaking on that. If anyone have any questions, feel free to go ahead and ask her right now.
Sure. Any questions?
Hi, this is Andrea James calling in tonight. And I've heard a lot about the guest speaker, and I'm glad I chimed in. I remember a phrase that we've been handed down. If you, and my mother used to always say that if you listen to the music, you got to pay the piper. And a lot of music nowadays is subliminal. And we don't realize that it's subliminal until we're acting it out. And we have to pay attention to, as the young lady said, that a lot of our children learn from nursery rhymes and things like that, which they do. But we still have to monitor the internet, the music, just about everything that our kids learn from, because the parents are the first influencers, and this is where a lot of things are born, inbred from the families and being taught to the children. and ease with the music. We have parental guidance on it, but when you have that on the songs, the kids want to listen to it even more so.
Even more, yeah.
And we're the same way. We're in the same generation where we used to sneak down to the basement to listen to Rudy Ray Moore and Red Fox and the Signified Monkey.
Hey,
they
were
all
more
the,
innocent compared to today.
They are.
Yes.
They were.
They were softer.
Very explicit. But nowadays it's even more so explicit than ever.
Yeah.
And the kids are emulating what it is that they see on videos, movies, and you say you talked about gaming. Gaming is so violent. It's scary. It's scary.
It is. There are some good video games. You have to seek them out. The UN has actually developed some wonderful interactive video games where kids can join others from all over the world to solve the water crisis, the food crisis, where they are actually not against one another or us and them, but we have to actually seek them out. And Audrey, you're absolutely correct. The influence is there. And some of it's very subliminal, especially in the area of advertising and marketing.
Yes.
Because not only does it teach kids to want more, it creates a false standard of beauty and strength because everything is kind of airbrushed. It sexualizes very young children. And it's fashionably debasing of a woman's identity. Girls see not as equal to or related to, but objects to be used. And this is where we have to step in with our children. However, what is heartening to me is we are seeing some of our young women, with the support of some young men, to stand up, speak out, and step in and say, no more, not here. Abercrombie and Finch made a horrific T-shirt for sale that was very debasing of young girls. And they collectively went to the media and shamed Abercrombie and Finch, and young boys joined in with them, and Abercrombie and Finch had to pull the shirts and take stock of the kinds of clothing that they were selling to young boys and girls, especially to girls. But the young kids got involved, so I'm hopeful in that regard. But we also, I supported that when the young people did that. And I feel it's very important that we as adults stand with our young people. It is young people today who are fighting because of the school shootings that they have experienced, fighting for some kind of gun regulation. And they're leading the way. And so we have to look at it at the positive aspect, but also be very aware of the dark web, the consequences of getting seduced, the experiences of young girls thinking they're talking to a 15-year-old boy and exposing their breasts when in reality it's a 36-year-old predator. So we need to recognize those things are happening. But we're going to talk about what can we do, and there are positives. Because in the video games, there are possible positives and probable negatives. Possible positives, it can draw kids into an intricate system where they learn the rules by interacting with fantasy characters and other real-life players. There's some wonderful games for young people with autism where they make their own avatars and can relate through their avatar when they have difficulty relating. So there are some positive things. It also, as doctors can tell you, good video games can strengthen eye-hand coordination, which you want if they're doing laser surgery, quick thinking, cooperation, imagination, and problem-solving skills. It also invites kids to create thoughtful and caring solutions to quandaries and dilemmas. For instance, with SIM, S-I-M, City, not SIN, N, but SIM with an M, City, is one of those games where kids can do thoughtful and caring solutions. But let's look now at the probable negative. Many, many video games require little more than quick, aggressive, violent responses to perceived threats. So they react very quickly online. So they have more of a tendency, if they play a lot of games online, don't take a break, don't get out in the real world to develop social relationships. Their reaction to anything they perceive as a threat, including a classmate, they will attack violently. It glorifies violence as a legitimate solution to problems. That can be very scary when they think that that's the only way I can win, instead of it being a win-win in most situations. They're learning to handle conflict in a healthy way. It sets up other people as adversaries, preys, or targets. An adversary, it's me against you. As a prey, somebody I have to hunt down and kill, or target. As young people experience offline, they can also be targeted online with kids who are mean and cruel to them. And bullying online and offline combined can have devastating, if not deadly, impact on the young person who's being targeted. I wrote about that in The Bully, The Bullied, and The Not-So-Innocent Bystander. And if any of you would like all of this in condensed versions, or you feel you need to sit down and go over it again, if you go to our website, kidsareworthit, all spelled out, .com, you will find handouts on just raising ethical human beings, parenting with wit and wisdom, gets into the three kinds of families, the bullying. I also included at the very top of the website a 68-page synopsis of the bullying book that's all downloadable for parents and educators, and including the online issues that our young targeted children face and what you can do about it. One of the other probable negatives of so much of our video games is it normalizes and routinizes violence as if that is just a way of life. And sad to say, we are seeing this with our young boys today, feeling a need to, if there's been any transgression, to strike out violently. And when they have access to any kind of weapon, they will tend to use it. But because they have been so involved in those games, you say, well, my child watched these games or played these games, but it's the duration, the frequency, and the intensity that we have to be concerned about with all of our young people. Are they online a lot and not getting out and getting fresh air, not getting exercises, not able to put that cell phone down? When somebody walks in the room, they just kind of grunt, hello. The duration of the time they're spending in the media world needs to be a concern. The frequency that they're watching the violent video games and not involved in healthy interactions with others. So it's the duration, frequency, and intensity. Watching horrifically violent images stay with us at our age and for our young people, but even more so with our young people. And this should be a very scary thing with some of the violent games our kids are exposed to. It doesn't affect every child. Some kids have such a well-balanced life in their family life and their friendships that this would not be an issue, but we're seeing it far too often. It breaks down the natural inhibition to killing. That when you see this happening, there was a young boy who's now in prison for life in Alaska who played violent video games often and then brought a gun to school and attacked and killed the vice principal and another student. He was absolutely stunned that they didn't get back up and that there was blood. The real-world consequences of what he had done. And he just broke down sobbing because in his mind it would be like a video game. He's a kid who had been saturated with video violence, but he didn't see it as wow, what do you mean he's bleeding? What do you mean he's not coming back? Because in games, you just pick up and keep going, but not true in our offline world. It also, and this is for those of you who are in studying the mind and how young people develop, it does create neural pathways that connect violence with pleasure and reward. When you see kids getting all excited about how many hits they had against a minority group or against young girls, it actually creates a pathway where the violence and pleasure and rewards are connected rather than the sadness, sympathy, and fright that ought to come when young people witness violence. And nonstop stimulation provides comfort and becomes a source for soothing oneself. I have seen young people wake up in the middle of the night and need their cell phone to be soothed back to sleep. And while we're on that, just an aside, I ask people, where is your child's cell phone if they're falling asleep in school, if they look groggy, if they're crabby? And they say, well, it's in his room. He needs it for the alarm clock. Buy him an alarm clock. The cell phones need to be not in the kitchen, not in the hallway, not in the family room at night, charging in your room. And I think you might be amazed at how many dings your child might be getting in the middle of the night. One dear friend got a call that her son was falling asleep in middle school. Well, he went to bed willingly at night early. And she noticed he'd been a bit tired, but now he's falling asleep in class. And I asked her where his phone was. Well, it's his alarm clock. And I said, put it in your room. And sure as shooting, what was happening is he was connecting with people 8 time zones away, playing games at 2 in the morning. Well, it was their daytime, but his nighttime. And it was an interesting thing because when the mother found out what was going on, she confronted her sister-in-law because the cousin was involved too. And the sister-in-law said, well, that's just the way kids are at this age. So know that when you confront even a family member, they may have a different attitude. The young boy got an alarm clock, and much to his dismay, the cell phone was charged in his parents' room. So there are things you can do. They're not going to be happy with you. If you start it young, it won't be as big an issue as if you suddenly say, okay, phones are going in my room. But you need to know that that's the safest place. Kids are targeted online at night. They target others. They get involved in risky sites at night. They may have somebody contact them and be afraid to wake you to say they're scared. So cell phone in your room, charging, away from your head, but charging. And then the issue and the title of this session was, it can be addictive. And we do know that there are children who are addicted. And there are even camps that kids can go to, summer camps, where they are allowed no media tools. And there's a withdrawal during those first few days. But kids come back a little more connected to nature and a bit more connected to other human beings without the media tools being front and center. Now, the Internet is a wide, wide world. And again, you don't want to be brick wall about it. You don't want to be jellyfish about it. You want to be backbone. Backbone has a structure you don't get from a rigid it gives you flexibility you don't get from a rigid brick wall. But it also gives you an environment that's conducive to creative, constructive, and responsible activities you don't get from a jellyfish model. So we need both flexibility and environment that invites creative, constructive, and responsible activity. But that means you and I have to talk to our kids. So I want to spend just a few moments here on the deadening consequences. What's wrong with all this violence our kids are exposed to? And this is something we need to remember, whether it's online or offline. Everything a child is exposed to, whether real, viewed, listened to, including music, or imagined, becomes a part of that child's view of the world. Now, I'm going to say that again. Everything a child is exposed to, whether real, viewed, listened to, or imagined, becomes a part of that child's view of the world. So what view do we want them to have? We want them to have a realistic view, but we don't want them to have one that is just absolutely filled with denigrating other human beings, making them into prey or targets or adversaries. We need to be able to get along in this world. But kids regularly exposed to media violence are apt to do six things. Become desensitized to real life violence, where, oh, well, it's not that big a deal. And I'm concerned in our country here in the U.S. that we can become desensitized to the numerous bullying scenarios that young people are involved in, the shootings that are happening on a regular basis, more than one a day in our society, the mean and cruel that some young people are experiencing from others. So, but some kids will become desensitized to it. So it's not a big deal. It happens all the time. When I was working in the inner city in Milwaukee, so many of our young people who are involved in gangs to survive had become absolutely desensitized to the violence around them or what they were asked to do out of absolute survival. They often imitate the violence they see and hear. They become easily intimidated and depressed. We talk so much today about how we need to be concerned, and we do, about how many of our young people are seriously depressed and how many of our young people have tried or been successful at suicide. And we fail to look at the media. There is a lot of people and a lot of money involved in online and video games and the like where they will fight you. And they will say, no. It doesn't harm them. There's something else going on in their lives. We have to take this bucket as part of what is causing our young people to become depressed. And then they become fearful and distrustful of others. If you're constantly playing games or being targeted or you're targeting somebody, you're likely to become fearful. And distress. And once you're fearful, you don't listen to your natural fear cues. Gavin DeBecker wrote the powerful book, The Gift of Fear. It's a normal response our body has because it wants to keep us alive. And if we are fearful of everything going on in our lives, that there are adversaries and people preying on me all the time, I will be so fearful. I will miss that natural fear cue when I need to be fearful. Our bodies will kick in. They want to keep us alive. But if we're fearful of everything, that we become desensitized to even that. And they become distrustful. You can't have healthy relationships if we don't trust one another. So kids regularly exposed to violence are more apt to do these things. And I mentioned it just briefly before, but they miss their natural healthy fear clues that Gavin DeBecker talked about. When they need to be concerned about online activity, oh, who is that person? They're not fearful, oh, everybody's going to be out to get me. But this one doesn't sound right. There's something amiss here. Your body's saying there's something amiss here. We need to help our young people tune into their healthy clues. Fear clues. They are also lulled into thinking that they are safe when in familiar surroundings with familiar people. And you and I all know that the people who abuse and traumatize our children are more likely to be people they know. And if they're lulled into thinking, well, he's a good guy or she's a good person, she's my friend, but she just doxed you online, you'll tend not to believe that she could do that, and yet she did do it, and so there'll be absolute denial. Are there any questions so far? Because what I'd like to do is, what can you do? Get into the 11 steps you can do as a parent. Any questions or comments?
I have a question. This is Paulette speaking.
Yes.
You mentioned about the duration, frequency of watching those the more violent type videos. Shouldn't parents be involved, period, if their kids are watching
Absolutely.
This horrific stuff, and maybe be a mentor talking to the child versus just...
I think, yes, and that's what I want to talk about, those 11 steps of what can we do as parents and mentors to help our young people. Because they cannot do this alone. This is such a powerful
Yeah, because it seemed like if they were given
you.
The alternative versus
yes.
the violent, or even, I don't know if you have to make them, you know, see a difference, or just, I can't see having a child in my house, and I have no, I guess, it's like you're not being a parent.
Well, and, and part of it is because, you know, this is the first generation. I'm an immigrant to the Internet. My children were first-generation immigrants to the Internet. They were introduced to it, but they were a part of it. This next generation are native to it. Some of those kids were introduced to a cell phone in the birthing room when everyone was taking pictures of the birth and so that was their first introduction. And from the time they're able to hold the phone, it's been used sometimes as a babysitter and the like. But to be involved offline, we must be intimately involved online. And it was heartening to me. Some of you may be familiar with the dinosaur train, Dr. Scott, the paleontologist.
Right.
And he is a famous paleontologist. His daughter was out in the woods with him and going on archaeological trips. But then as she started to reach the teen years, she got much more hooked into her media. And he wrote a phenomenal book, partly for himself, and I know that as a writer, that some of this we learned through our own writings. He wrote a book called How to Raise a Wild Child, who is connected to nature, connected to other human beings, wanting to explore the world and not just get lost in their cell phone. So let's look at what we can do as parents. First of all, you move the TV, the computer, the DVD player, any Game Boys and cell phones into a public area of your home. I know children, so many young people have their own TV. You want to communicate with a kid? You'll lose them if there's a TV in their bedroom. If their computers are in it, well, that's where I have to study. I was so pleased with one of my kids, with one of the grandkids, where it's right out there in the open. They made a nook in the dining room where his computer games are. He's isolated, but also mama can walk by and connect with him. So put it in a public area of your home, and that's going to cause a bit of grief for those of you who your child has his own TV. You're going to lose your child, and you might not be aware of some of the scary things you're getting involved in. They might not want to tell you about the targeting that happened to them with their cell phones. So you want to move those tools into the public area. Listen to what your children are listening to and talk with them about the messages in relation to your values and expectations. Your job is to be a parent. Before your children reach puberty, you are their parent. Once they reach puberty, you become their model and their guide, not their friend. I get so hysterical when people say, oh, my teenager is my best friend. To which I say, get a life. You need a life. Go talk to someone your own age about those issues. Your child needs you as a model and a guide. That means, are you on the cell phone all the time? Do you have some guidelines about at the dinner table, do we put our cell phones in a basket, all of us? do we do that so we can model for our children that this is family time. We live about 84 miles away from one of our grandkids, and when he has to take the long drive with grandma, I say, look, let's negotiate this. We can listen to your music going up, and then when we reach a certain point, if you'd like to be on your phone, you can. On the way back home, we listen to grandma's music, and we're going to talk about stuff. And we just lay those ground rules. And, you know, when you lay them in a very caring, loving way, they may grunt at you at first, but then they learn about my generation's music. Some of it he thought was pretty cool. But I also listened to his music and could talk to him about that. Play an active role in selecting material for younger children, what's appropriate, what's not, not just babysitting. Sesame Street has some wonderful online activities. It's a safe place to be. They have made a commitment to safety. And so for the younger ones, you pick them out and teach older children to make healthy choices about media consumption. Again, the duration, the frequency, and the intensity of the materials they're choosing. Watch the TV shows and movies with your kids and talk with them about the plot, the characters, the themes, the intentions, but also the manipulative tools that were used. How is the music? Does that change the what's going on? Does that anticipate something? And, you know, you don't have to have a degree in this to do that. Watch those movies. I remember when my kids were teenagers, Dirty Dancing came out. And my two daughters, I felt, needed to watch it, but my son was a bit younger. And I said, when you're a teenager, you can watch it too. But we had some very good discussions about the plot, the fact that the young, handsome, wealthy kid was the one who was more menacing in that, and the kid who had been accused came from poverty, and what a difference that made. So I could talk to my own children, being a successful writer and lecturer, that I came from poverty, and how people treated us at home and at school when we lived across the railroad tracks. So you can bring your own life experience into some of those movies, but make sure you get to pick out some of those movies too. I have now gotten to know all the superheroes, and for some, they have very good messages, and to talk to my grandchildren about that. And I found that we as grandparents could be good role models for our own children, because remember, this is new territory for them as well, and the pandemic didn't help, because it kind of enabled some kids to get really hooked. So watch those shows with them and talk to them about it. Go on a tour with your children of their internet community. Remember, these are communities. These are streets that they are wandering down and the like, and discuss together what you find there. And be curious about it, not, oh, well, that's terrible. No. Talk to me about it. Tell me about it. Why do you find this so intriguing and fascinating? And is there ever time to say no? Absolutely. When it's life-threatening, morally threatening, or unhealthy, you do have to intervene. And there are some songs that your children may be tuned into, and you have to say, you know what? This is degrading to other human beings. This is about mean and cruel. And in my day, we had some of that, too. I let them know this is not brand new stuff, but it's not healthy. And I talked to especially our teens about what all this violence can do and how it can skew the way that you're influenced by other human beings. And then I look at advertising, and I've hit on this a bit before, in all the media forms with your kids, and help them learn to decipher the messages and be discerning consumers. Those young girls were up in arms about what happened to this T-shirt that was very degrading of young girls. And they took action through media. They actually got on the Today Show. They talked about it. They got online. We are seeing some very healthy things. TikTok may make you crazy, but you need to know that there are some good things on TikTok that your kids, again, is getting familiar with them, what accounts do they have? What ones do you let them have? Remember, increasing responsibilities and decisions as they're able, age appropriate, ability appropriate, always comes through with everything here. You might want to form a movie club with other families and select, watch, and discuss movies together that the young people want to see. There's a new movie coming out, and all the kids want to go to it. Go with them all together, or have a watching at your own home. If you have the largest TV in the neighborhood, invite kids and their families over as a gathering together with good food and laughter and being able to discuss it. And believe me, you'll learn a lot from your preteen and teenage kids about who these characters are, because they're as immersed in it as we were in our TV shows and the rare movie that we got to go to. Be alert to the danger signs of overexposure, of uncivilizing media. If they start to talk about others, and you would never do that in your home, you've never dehumanized another human being, and there they are talking in a derogatory term about an ethnic group or an economic group or someone who speaks a different language, and you say, well, we wouldn't teach them. Well, they're getting it somewhere. So you want to check out their media when you start to see these kinds of negative things that I went through, but also when you start to hear language that is very concerning to you. It's okay. That's your natural fear clue kicking in, saying, I need to be concerned about this. They need to be able to tell you about the good, the bad, and the ugly that's happening in their lives. And so if you expect them to be perfect, if you get all excited about their A pluses, they are less likely to tell you about neighborhoods or cities they've explored online that concern them now, or they're afraid to tell you something that has happened to them because they are afraid you will take their tools away from them. And you have to promise them you will not, but you will help keep them safe. Teach your children the basic net etiquette and net safety. And if you go to Parry AFTAB, P-A-R-R-Y, AFTAB, A-F-T-A-B, she has a wonderful website that she's constantly adding to on helping kids keep kids.
Can you say that name again?
Google, yeah, Parry AFTAB. She's internationally renowned in the anti-bullying community, but also the online community. Her husband happens to be a well-known gamer. He develops healthy games for young adolescents and adults. But go to parryaftab.com, and you'll
okay,
be able
spell,
to
I know, you
have
said
a world
P-E-R-R-Y.
Open.
P-A-R-R-Y.
P-A-R-R-Y.
How do you spell the
husband? Parry. Yeah, AFTAB, AFTAB.com. She has what's called wired safety, but it's going to open the world to you for ways to help keep your kids safe. She has done work with government. She's done work with some of the bigger media personalities and has really hit hard on, wow, you've got to be accountable. Another, many of you may be familiar with him, is Raffi. Raffi is the famous singer, and he has been committed to children and music and good music with children, but he also has developed a website called Child Honoring. I belong to that group because they are fighting the big corporations in advertising and media because you and I as parents, we are the first teachers. We are the ones here. Our schools are working hard. Our police are working hard. But we need to hold the feet to the fire of the big corporations who have the money and the resources to help keep our children safe. And so Rafi is a great resource for that. He firmly believes in honoring all children and celebrating young people, making sure they're fed, they're clothed, they get good education. But he's also holding the feet to the fire of the media conglomerate, saying, wait a minute, you know, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, all of the platforms, Instagram, that our young people on, you have the money and the resources to keep our young people safe. And we know some of the research that they were doing that was kept hidden until whistleblowers came forward and said, you know what? The platforms are harming young boys and girls, seriously harming them. You need to be accountable. And so we can't do it alone. So don't be overwhelmed that you've got to do it all, but we also have to hold accountable the, right. the big platforms. Then we want to encourage our children to get involved with their peers in activities that promote creative, responsible, pro-social, and civil behaviors. Have them over to your house to do activities where, you know, the media tools are dropped right here at the door. I have seen parents disconnect the internet outside. It's gone. I don't know what happened. It's disconnected. We'll have to find games to play, board games. We'll have to go outside and to do outside. Getting kids to connect face-to-face, human-to-human. Can it happen online? Yeah. There is good in that kind of human connection, but it's also important that they learn to read the visual cues that you don't always see online. And then probably the most important is stay involved with your kids. Unplug the TV, turn off the computer, confiscate the batteries to the Game Boy, and lose the headphones. Get outside, explore your neighborhood together, get involved in a community project. Habitat for Humanity can always use our young teens. Cruise a river, climb a rock wall, ride bikes, take a hike, share a picnic lunch, look at the stars. It's a big galaxy out there. I had a wonderful experience with the latest moon, the red moon that was there with the Earth and the sun, the Earth coming between the moon and the sun, and taking one of the grandkids to the darkest place we could find on a hill. And he said to me, Grandma, you're always talking about what the moon's doing. I said, it's fascinating. And when he saw it, we could hardly pull him away. He wanted to wait until it was totally over. But if they've not had that experience, then they'll be on their phone and say, oh, this is boring. Grandma, does your phone work better than mine to take a picture? Mine won't take a good picture of that. You know, that's what we can do. We can still use our media tools, and we looked up when the best time and where the best time to watch it was. You do that together. And then to go online and look at what how it was being shown throughout the world, there's a lot you can do with an event that they become a part of to get them excited about what's going on in our world. Our children need to know, James Nachtwey said it beautifully. He said, do good because good is good to do. When they get out and do good in the neighborhood, when they have fun and they're laughing with other human beings, that in itself is a reward in itself. And when they do it, when you do good for other human beings, when you're interacting with other human beings, it impacts you. So, we can do something. Is it overwhelming? Can feel that way at times? But I believe that we can make a difference in our children, and I'm speaking as a grandmother, grandchildren's life as well. You can get online. If you see something fascinating, send it to one of your grandchildren. Send it to all. I could send it to all three of mine sometimes, but sometimes it's just very personal. Here's something about girls and sports. So I send that to my my granddaughter. I know one of them loves dinosaurs, so anything I find about a new, I send it to them. So they know that grandma's connected. My mother died at 92 years old, went to the Mac store and learned how to, when my father died, learned how to use a Mac computer, how to do mail orders, how to use a cell phone and send emojis to her grandchildren. So if she can do it, we can do it. We can all connect with our children that way. So look at it as a tool, and it is only a tool. And it can be used, again, as I stated right at the very beginning, it is the good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent. Probably the indifferent is something we need to look at, too. Do they care that young people are getting body images that aren't healthy? Then we need to get very active ourselves.
It sounds like parents, there needs to be classes for parents to be trained, because how can you train a child when the parents don't know any better?
Well, and that's important, and that's why when I work with schools, I see so many schools today having classes for parents, and it's just disheartening to see how many parents don't attend. So now they're doing it virtually, online. You can actually go online and learn how to keep your kids safe. But again, I'm going to refer you once again to commonsensemedia.org. It's free. You can go into all the different age groups, because many of you have more than one child at different ages and stages in their life. And it also teaches you how to help children block things, help children be safe online. And if you've talked to them about if somebody comes to you and you're worried, your fear clues are kicking in here, talk to me about it. You can tell me about it. I had a great time when I first started doing Zoom lectures, March 13th of 2020. I had to call my three grandkids. One was 10, one was 12, and one was 13, and asked them how to do Zoom, and they helped me out. And the youngest said, "Oh, Grandma, I can make you into an owl so you can pretend to be wise." Okay, thanks, Nick. You know, but asking them, sit down with your teenagers and say, show me your communities, and is there any communities Grandma or Mom can find here or Dad can find here? Help me out. Kids love to show that they are more knowledgeable than we are in certain areas, and they're right. They are. But also that means we can put our wisdom in there and say, let's talk about that song and what message it sends about your people like your sister or people like your brother, and bring it real to them, because it's here. It's not going away. I heard a woman saying that magazines will be a thing of the past until the next generation decides there's a new thing to have magazines, because now it's all online, or you read the newspaper on your phone. It's an ever-evolving. We need to be tuned in. Those of you who can get politically active need to do that. You need to use your energy and say, we need to keep our kids safe, but not just safe. We want them to also have media tools where they can grow in a healthy way.
Okay. Barbara, this was excellent. Is there anyone online that would love to ask a question, make a statement? Ask Barbara, because you have her for these few moments.
I've enjoyed Barbara tonight. She's given me some great information. Personally, I'm not a parent, but I'm a mother figure to all children. And so I've learned some valuable things tonight. So I'm glad I listened in. Thank you, Paulette, for inviting me.
Yes, thank you, and thank you all. And again, kids are worth it. All the handouts are there. including the one for those of you who are worried about a child being bullied on and offline, because it happens both.
I want to share, too, I don't know how old everybody is, but if you remember that movie called E.T., when E.T. wanted to go home, I remember my niece and nephew, they wanted to watch that, and I thought that was awful. It looked cute. And so, in fact, they told me making all the statements about the movie as they're watching it, I took all the fun out of it, because when the grandmother was going down the banister and then, you know, into some hot soup, I said, what if that was your grandmother? They said, ugh. See, it wasn't so funny anymore. They said,
after
I took the laughter out. I said, but your grandmother's going into hot soup. How funny is that? So all the different parts that I knew would be objectionable, they didn't want to watch it anymore. They
well,
said,
I always say, you know, you
it.
Can talk about it during it, but you can also wait till afterwards.
Yeah, I talk about it during it because, and they didn't like it. It changed how they saw the movie.
Sure,
because I personalize it, and
I think
parents need to sit there and I did it in a friendly manner.
Yeah,
but I remember how they felt. Because,
but I also think
my reason for doing that was to let them know that these movies are desensitizing you to reality. Nobody wants a grandmother.
And I say to them, Paulette, you're right. And I say to them, talk to me about what you just saw happen. And was that cool? Was that good? Was it healthy? And they're going to begin to look at movies a whole different way.
Yeah, and that's the goal. But again, I want to say that parents will say, I don't know, because I remember teaching over at El Camino Junior College, and me and some of the women, we were talking, and I was saying how you need to share things with your teenage daughter. And the one mother spoke up. She said, how do I do that when I don't know what to do?
Exactly. Then we
so how can I pass it down to the daughter or the son if I don't know any better?
That's where we need to be able to get the help and the resources. That's why I gave you a few of them with Perry Aftab and Common Sense Media and Rappi, three very different sources for very, very different reasons, but they all help kids be safe online. Not only safe, but to seek out more helpful adventures. And Dr. Scott, Dinosaur Train, Raising a Wild Child, has some wonderful things that can jog people's minds about, oh, you know what, it's part of their world, but how can we bring the online and offline world and make it real to them in a healthy way? That's our goal.
Because I remember my sister when she was alive, and she says, my neighborhood where I'm living is not good. She owned her home there, but the neighborhood had changed. She said this. She's afraid her son would end up in a gang. There was prostitution and other things going on. So she moved her son and daughter to my parents' house in La Mirada because it was, you know, they didn't, because they were used to seeing certain things and, you know, and getting excited at things that you don't get excited about.
Yeah.
So they were beginning to become
desensitized. Well, you may remember Angela Davis. Angela.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the murderer she wrote? Lansbury.
Yeah.
Is it Lansbury? She actually, her two kids got involved in drugs and online stuff. She took them to an island for a year. Not all of us can do that. But
no.
That was, sometimes we need to create our own islands of safety for our children and say, you know, the internet's not connected right now, and we need time to be together.
Yeah.
And if it's multi-generational, you know, I think it can be very helpful. Our grandchildren, who were my mother's great-grandchildren, were just amazed that Grandma could operate the Mac the way she could. And but she took classes, see, you know, and she learned how to use that cell phone and say, hey, I'm not just going to call somebody. They don't answer. Teenagers go by text, you know. And so you get into their world and invite them into the real world.
Well, yes, I agree. Well, thank you, Barbara.
It's been a pleasure. A
lot of information. Paulette. Yes.
I always appreciate talking with you. It's just a real joy. And thank you for the audience. And I wish everyone the best. This is a scary world out there, but it's also a delightful world.
Yes. Well, I want to say that we'll be on again next month. It's normally the first Monday of every month at 8 p.m. Pacific time. That number, you still dial in the same number, 858-769-4936. And if you want to talk, press 1. The audience was good at keeping their background noise away, so I didn't have to mute whoever's got too much noise, because this is being recorded, so that you can listen to it over and over and over again. But thank you. Thank everyone for coming, and we're getting ready to go off the air. If you have any last-minute questions right now or statements, you're welcome to make them before the show closes. Anybody?
Thank you inviting me.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
For the powerful, I used to do healthy families. I used to do parenting in healthy families, and it's so ironic that all of these things connect together in some sort of way.
They do.
So I appreciate what I can't remember the speaker's name because I had to get
Barbara.
Off the page.
Barbara.
Oloroso.
it all connects.
Thank you so much. And for the ladies that are out there, next month is National Parent Month. And one of our speakers will be Barbara Coloroso. She's going to be on because we'll be talking about, or it's with the Women to Women Cafe. So the advertisement that I sent your way, if you want more information, just let me know.
And I'll be talking, Paulette, I'll be talking about raising responsible, resourceful, resilient, compassionate human beings.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Us parents should have had that years ago. It's like you're into the parenting and then you finally learn. And then you say, oh, I'm so sorry. I did some things right and some things wrong. But don't beat ourselves up over it.
Actually, we were taught how to be parents.
To do a better job. Their jobs do a better job than I do. It's called evolution.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to
sign off.
Thank you, Paulette.
Yes, and thank you.
And thank you,
so
Selena.
Much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right, good night.
Good night.